All right, thank you for that. It's just so good for us as a fellowship to come together and pray for one another and continue to grow in that and to give thanks to the Lord for what he is doing. And I tell you, these prayers are so appropriate. What we've prayed and sung this morning is also appropriate for what I have to come and share with you this morning. So I'll tell you, it has been quite a week for us. And I'm coming to you this morning not prepared as much as I would like to be able to speak to you. I had a sermon series I was planning on starting. I did not get a chance to really work on that at all this week. Well, not at all, but not as much as I needed to really be able to present to you. And I think the Lord had other plans for us. Recall a couple of weeks ago, I shared some insights from the book of Job regarding the fact that there are aspects of our life that are out of our control. And that we need to learn to have an enduring kind of faith in God, even when things don't go according to our plans. And I will tell you that I've learned so much over the past couple days about applying that and really learning to trust in him. Wendy and I have had some experiences and had several opportunities to just trust God with things that are out of our control. And I really want to just come to you today sharing some of that, sharing some of our experiences as a way to talk and have this be a conversation together, talking about what it really means to trust the Lord with our lives. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding." I have that passage up here. "Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, he will make your paths set straight."
How you doing? You all right back there?
Jesus, you're going the
And I don't know if we fully understand that a lot of times when we read that, what it means to not trust in our own understanding. We could probably all relate to this. So let me just start out, first of all, with a video I found that sums up. This is a profound message in this video about... It illustrates what it's like to really give Jesus control of your life. All right, so just take a look at this.
How you doing? You all right back there?
Jesus, you're going the wrong way!
You just rest. It's all in your control.
I am the way.
There you go. Isn't that great? You want to watch it one more time? Here we go.
How you doing? You all right back there?
Jesus, you're going the wrong way!
You just rest. It's all in your control.
I am the way.
I've seen that so many times. It makes me laugh every time. But it's also profoundly true. When you really think about it, how many times are we screaming, "Jesus, you're going the wrong way?" Or we're saying, "This is the way my life is supposed to go. Why isn't it working this way? God, why won't you help me make things work the way I want them to work?" When the reality is, we're supposed to let Jesus just take the wheel. And he's going to take us places not only do we not expect to go, that he's going to take us places we don't want to go. And we're going to be kicking and screaming saying, "God, I do not want to experience this." But he wants us to experience it. He is the one who's in control and he is the one deciding. And the more we resist, the harder we make things for ourselves. So our journey over the last several days started with a decision we made to really follow through on Jesus' command to love God, love your neighbor, and apply that to our family. I have a brother who lives in Chicago with his wife and two kids. Some of you met them a couple weeks ago, and we learned that our nieces were performing in this musical production, Mary Poppins, this weekend. They're doing another performance today, right? They're doing the last one today even. And we said, you know what? We want to grow closer to this family. Let's go and see them. We'll watch the show on Saturday, and we should be able to get back in time. And you know what? we've had a really busy holiday season. Let's have some fun and enjoy the trip. We're going to hop on the Amtrak in Red Wing, which takes you down to Chicago. It's such a beautiful trip. Riding the rails, if you haven't ridden a train before, it's just a fun experience, right? You get to ride the entire distance. You can walk around, visit the lounge cabin. They have a dining car, all these things. It's just a cool experience. And so we made the decision. We made our plan that we were going to go down to Chicago on the train to watch the girls in their play. And so I knew in my mind that meant I have a short week to get prepared for today. And especially on Wednesday, we're leaving Thursday. Wednesday, I was really, really trying to focus on preparing my sermon for today. Didn't happen. Ended up spending there were a lot of small distractions, but the big one was just I had somebody come to me that day who was homeless, needing some help, working with some other churches in town to try to coordinate something for this person. And that just takes time and effort and prayer and praying and hoping that this is going to be a step up and not just a we're giving you some money and you're going to come back, right? We want to help people move forward in life and having those conversations. And that just takes stuff out of you. And so I'm not doing my sermon. Wendy had her own issues. And I know you can speak for yourself of things that were going on at work. She came home. We were going to get ready for the trip and you ended up in the evening. We're going to celebrate the night before. Yeah, she was on the phone for 5 hours, collapsed into bed, tired, right? So that was the beginning of our journey. And it turns out our train was delayed the next day. It was supposed to leave at 9-something, and it was delayed by 4 hours. In some ways, that was a blessing to give us a little bit more time, but it meant pushing back our trip, meaning we're arriving there later on our way to Red Wing. You know, they give you the time that the train is actually coming, and then they were actually moving it back. So our time to get to the train was actually shortening as we went to Red Wing. Yeah, went from 145 to 120 as we're driving to Red Wing. Got there with like less than 10 minutes to spare before the train showed up. Got on the train and just, we were able to relax. It was an enjoyable trip. It really was an enjoyable trip down there. But we got there late. We're kind of frazzled. The girls, when we arrived, were already ready for bed. You know, it was late for them, so we didn't get to spend a whole lot of time with them. All collapsed into bed. And then the next day, we spent some good time. We had really great conversations with my sister-in-law about faith and what it means to really give God control of our lives. It's kind of feeding into my thoughts as I'm coming to you this morning. We'll bring up some more on that. It turns out that the production was an hour and a half drive away from their house through Chicago traffic. So I got to drive that. And the play started at 7 p.m. Turned out it was a 2.5-hour production. Was it 3 hours? Finished at 10 o'clock. So we're driving, so now we have an hour and a half back to their place at 10 p.m. So, of course, we're all exhausted by the time we get back. And just, you know, and all this just kind of wears on you. This is not the plan. We plan to have a nice, enjoyable time connecting with family, right? And we did. I'm not saying it was all bad. There was some great, enjoyable things. It's just not the things that we had, not working out the way we planned it. It's a beautiful production. We did get to connect with our family, just not as much as we wanted. And then we had the trip back yesterday. So our train was scheduled to leave at 11:05 a.m. We had a plan to get over to the Union Station early, be able to get on the plane. In the middle of the night sometime, Wendy got a notice that our train was being canceled due to extreme cold weather. And I don't remember what time that was. And then there was a call. It didn't even give us a reason. But it turns out instead of a train, we were now going to be taking a bus back from Chicago. And we got to the station, we talked to the rail agent, and he looks at, you know, everyone who's going from beyond Milwaukee into, you know, all these places. Come see me. He says, okay, go outside. You're going to get on the black bus. We walk outside and found 3 black buses. Okay. And yeah, nobody really knew. These are all contract drivers. We heard later that they did not have enough buses to handle everything, and they were continuing to sell tickets even after the trains were canceled. So all these bus drivers are just contract workers who were called in to help, and they don't know what's going on. And finally found a bus. We got to Milwaukee. We had to switch buses. And instead of taking the bus that goes straight to St. Paul, we are on the bus that stops at every Amtrak station along the way. Sure, go ahead. Yeah, we didn't have to. Yeah, didn't have to stop at Winona. Right, and then as we're pulling into Red Wing, we're watching. So close. We're finally here. Right, and buses. If you've never ridden a bus for hours, it's not fun, not comfortable. There's no water, no meals. Right, the train was going to have water and meals and coffee. None of that. There's no stopping for the bathroom on the bus. We're just going to keep going. Right. If we stop, we're just letting people on and off as quick as we can so we can keep going. We finally get to Red Wing. And we're almost there. And we watch the bus drive past the turn to the Amtrak station. Like, what is going on? Wendy said something. I think you passed it. He goes, yeah, I think you're right. And he pulled into a parking lot and said his phone had died. So he was hoping to see a sign pointing to the Amtrak station. And we're like, Wendy pulled up the GPS on her phone. She said, here, you know, I tried to offer it to him and he wasn't interested. And we're like, all you got to do is go back like two blocks and take a left. I didn't say it. That's what I was thinking though. Like, but no, we had to wait for him to find his cord, plug in his phone, turn his phone back on, open up, get directions so he can go back. And we're like, we're almost there. We're almost there.
You almost want to get out and block.
Almost. But that's the point. I share all those details, and there's a lot more, but it was at the point, it was a patience lesson. We had many conversations, and we've had many talks about having patience with what the Lord is doing in our lives. We could have gotten very upset, and we have been in situations like this before, like things are not going the way we want them to. You get upset, you get angry, you get frustrated, then you start poking at each other, and you're just in this cycle, and you have a miserable time. Has anyone else ever been there? Yeah.
We weren't there
yesterday, and it was a good thing. And I think it's because of certain realizations that we've started to have. And these are things that we've talked and thought about, but to really apply it and recognize that we are not in control. And we're not meant to be in control. These were all factors that we had no say in. We couldn't call the train station and say, fix this for us, right? We just had to accept the situation as it came. And so often when things happen to that to us, we don't want to accept it. We're like, no, it shouldn't be this way. It's supposed to be this other way. And we get all upset and we get angry. We spend all kinds of energy and time trying to make it work the way we expect it to, rather than saying, okay, Lord, this is what you've given me. Help me trust you through it, right? Jesus takes us on this path, this journey that is scary and can be upsetting and is not what we wanted. But he is saying, trust me. There are several things that Wendy had brought up and Wendy was reading at that time about patience. I don't know if you want to share any of this or not. I'm thinking about that art lesson. You want to grab it? And these are just so powerful that we were like, we need to apply this to our lives. We need to think about this so that we're not crashing into that awful place where we know we could be, where we're just upset because we don't have control. I read something this morning that said complaint and discontent really means I don't trust you, God. When we start complaining about our lives, we start being discontent with the circumstances we have, what we're really saying is, Lord, I don't trust you enough to just follow you where you're going. I want to go where I want to go. You want to come up here and share? I'll come back and watch the kids read.
No, that's fine. Okay. So there were two excerpts about patience. So God had us
totally on a patient's journey. Because my five-hour phone call was talking with about 10 people about something that was not according to plan. Someone decided, and out of our control then for what we're going to do. There's no going back. We're going to do this. So now, you know, trying to develop the mitigations for the path that we now find ourselves on. So I felt like that guy in the video reaching for the seatbelt, but it wouldn't come out because we were going too fast already. So anyway, it's kind of what I felt like. And it was good to have a little bit of time the next day for the headache to subside. Because when you stay up late and you're trying to do something and you're concerned about it, there's other things that happen. So this excerpt that you're talking about, Scott, is this the Finnish American photographer. His name is Arno, if I'm going to say it wrong, but Meninkin, dramatizes this deep truth about the power of patience. It's a parable about Helsinki's main bus station. There are 24 platforms there. So I'm reading this book while I'm just kind of the first one awake at our brother-in-law and sister-in-law's house, about to tell Scott that our train has been canceled. And there's a bus that's been scheduled for us. So, well, that's good. You know, it's... So anyway, just for that context. So there's a bus station that I'm reading about. There are 24 platforms there, he explains, with several different bus lines departing from each one. And for the first part of the journey, each bus leaving from any given platform takes the same route through the city as all the others, making identical stops. Think of each stop as representing 1 year of your life, he advises his photography students, or 1 year of your career. You pick an artistic direction. Perhaps you start working on platinum studies and you begin to accumulate a portfolio of work. 3 years or bus stops later, you proudly present it to the owner of the gallery. But you're dismayed to be told that your pictures aren't as original as you thought because they look of knockoffs of a work of the photographer Irving Penn. Penn's bus, it turned out, had been on the same route as yours. Annoyed at yourself for having wasted 3 years following somebody else's path, you jump off that bus, hail a taxi, return to where you started at the bus station. This time you board a different bus, choosing a different type of photography in which to specialize. But a few stops later, the same thing happens. You're informed that your new body of work seems like it was a knockoff too. Back you go to the bus station. But the pattern keeps repeating. Nothing you produce ever gets recognized as being truly your own. So what's the solution? And he says it's simple. Stay on the bus. Go get on the bus. A little further out of their journeys out of the city, the bus routes diverge, plunging off to unique destinations as they head through the suburbs and into the countryside beyond. That's where the distinctive work begins, but it begins all only for those who can muster the patience to immerse themselves in the earlier stage, the trial and error phase of copying others, learning new skills, and accumulating experience. So I'm reading this, just go get on the bus. So when I told Scott about it, I said, Scott, we're supposed to just stay on the bus. We're supposed to go into the countryside. And today's our patience lesson, because we're going to take a 10-hour bus ride home instead of a 5 or 6 hour train ride home. And then another quote for the book that I read right after that says that we need to develop a taste for having problems. And this book isn't a Christian book, but I love how God uses circumstances. I have not picked up this book in a couple of months, and I thought I'm going to read it again this morning and hear God's got this great message about we're going to get on the bus and we're going to stay on the bus, and we're not going to try to do our own thing and try to figure out how do we get to the airport and how would we get back and how are we going to hustle around and make things worse for ourselves. We're just going to get on the bus. And we have each other, and we have sandwiches we packed, and we're gonna be okay. So another quote from the book right after said that we need to develop a taste for having problems. Behind our urge to race through every obstacle or challenge in an effort to get it dealt with, there's usually the unspoken fantasy that you might one day finally reach the state of not having problems. Anybody feel that way sometimes? As a result, most of us treat the problems that we are currently encountering as doubly problematic. First, because of whatever specific problem we're facing, and we prayed about a lot of those this morning and more that people hadn't shared. And second, only because we seem to believe, if only subconsciously, that we shouldn't have problems at all. So not only do we have to deal with the problem, but we also have to deal with the problem that we shouldn't be having this problem. So we make it doubly hard for ourselves. Yet the state of having no problems is obviously never going to arrive. And more to the point, you wouldn't want it to, because a life devoid of all problems would contain nothing worth doing and would therefore be meaningless. Because what is a problem, really? The most generic definition is simply that it's something that demands that you address yourself to it. And if life contained no such demands, there'd be no point in anything. Once you give up on the unattainable goal of eradicating all of your problems, it becomes possible to develop an appreciation for the fact that life is just a process of engaging with problem after problem, giving each one the time it requires, collaborating with others, praying as we go through it, connecting with other people. That the presence of problems in your life, in other words, isn't meant to be an impediment to meaningful existence, but it's the very substance of one.
I think those are such valuable insights as we look at our lives, right? Our lives are full of trouble all the time, and the default we have is to complain about it. But the reality is so often that there is something that God is doing through those situations. He presents them to us, leads them to us, inviting us to just go through it with him and trusting him. And there's so much growth and so much closeness to God and so much discovering the fulfillment that he has for us when we do that, rather than resisting and fighting and thinking this shouldn't be happening to me. And can anyone relate to all this? Yeah, Pat? And does anyone have anything they want to share and add to this? Yeah, how was yours? Are you going to say something? Sure.
And yet, just like, thank you for this message. It was so spot on, Jordan. Thank you, God.
Yeah. It's an important message, I think, that we all need to keep ingraining into our lives. I mean, I recognize moments where it's not quite conscious, but it's almost a conscious decision to get upset about something, right? It is. And I'm like, there is a moment where I could decide to just embrace it and say, okay, Lord. But there's a stubborn part of you that's like, no, this shouldn't be this way. Right? And we all fall into that. But we truly do have a choice to trust the Lord in everything. I read Philippians 4:11-13. Paul talks about contentment. He says, I'll give you a moment to open to that if you'd like. Philippians 4:11-13. And Paul is giving thanks to the Philippians for being concerned about him, and he says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And so Paul has learned to be content by knowing that he can do all things through him who strengthens me. And as I read that, I thought, you know, the way we often interpret that passage is that God can, if we can learn to trust Jesus enough, he will give us the strength to do the things that we're trying to do. Right? I have my plans. It's tough. It's hard. And I can trust Jesus to help me accomplish those things. The reality, though, and you look at Paul's life and the circumstances he talks about, the reality of what he's saying is, I have learned to be content with whatever path Jesus chooses for me. He's not going to lead me down the path that I want. He's not going to strengthen me to accomplish my goals. He's going to give me the strength to hang on in the car as he's flying over the hills and driving down the street crazily. Right? That's contentment, is learning to trust Jesus with even that. Because there's something to be found in those moments that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He does know what's best for my life. And when it looks like he's about to run head straight, headlong into a big truck, that's the best path for me to be on right now. And he will get me through it. That's the lesson of contentment. That's the lesson of not being in control of our lives. If you take a look at the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To truly learn each of those things, to gain those fruits in our life, really means letting go of ourselves and our plans in so many ways. Learning to love means letting go of who we think people ought to be and what they should be like, and accepting them as God's children. Having joy, even in any circumstance, it's like, okay, Lord, I'm going to be joyful because you are here with me even when I don't like this circumstance. Same with peace. It's I'd rather say we as we go flying over those hills, right? Patience, kindness, patience, having the patience to see the whole thing through. There was another story in that book about an art teacher who assigned students to go look at a painting for 3 hours straight and to see what details they learned from doing that project. Not having their phones with them, not taking a break, not doing it in small increments, but 3 hours straight, just look at this artwork, this piece of art, and see what you gain. And the insights that you gain once you get past the initial, yeah, I've seen this, I've seen it again, I know what it is, and you start to dig deeper. We have to have the patience to see things through that God is leading us into and not cut them short and say, okay, I'm done, God, I learned the lesson, get me out of this. Or we try to find a solution that'll quickly resolve our problems when perhaps there's something that God wants to take us through that takes us even deeper. Do we have the patience for that? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, having kindness for people even when they're not being kind involves letting go of what I want. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Oh my goodness, self-control is all about letting go of what you want and accepting what God wants, right? All the good things that God wants us to have in our lives involve letting go of control and saying, okay, God, you're in control, and I'm happy with that. And that's really the message I have for today, because that's what we've been experiencing and we've seen some great fruit in our own lives of actually embracing that and saying, okay, Lord, you're in control. We actually, as much as we were uncomfortable on the bus, we had an enjoyable trip home. We were together. We were on our way home, and when my sister-in-law texted us back and said, oh no, I'm so sorry you had to go through all that, you know, our response is, hey, it was worth it. To be able to say you are worth it after going through all of that is a powerful message to somebody. So, yeah, it absolutely was worth it. And the play was wonderful, and it just took us on a path that we did not expect, and that's okay. So let's embrace that God is in control of our lives. And the reality is we can help each other with this, right? We feed off of each other. And if I start complaining about everything and saying this is terrible and this is awful and how come God's not with us and he's not taking care of us, pretty soon everyone is going to be on the same place, right? We feed off of each other in ways we don't even realize. We can help encourage one another to have those fruit of the Spirit, to really, really trust the Lord with our lives and the way we interact with one another. So I pray that God may teach us all to embrace him. Yeah, Wendy. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Yeah. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as we see the day approaching. It's a big part of what church is coming together to encourage one another in this broken world, to say, hey, look, the Lord is still in control. He does have great plans for us, and it may be hard to see, but we need to trust him. Let's keep gathering together and inviting others to gather with us, and as we do, encourage one another to trust in the Lord. May that be our focus in everything that we face. Let me pray for us. Let's close with our final song. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you are in control. And I pray that you help each and every one of us to know that in the depths of our hearts. You are in control, Lord. And even when things are not going our way, especially when things are not going on our way, may we learn that your way is better. May we join you in the journey and help us to find love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Produce those things in us as we let go and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.